couple things real quick. I'd like to just start off by thanking everyone for their support and contributions in making UDRC a success. I know we still have a lot to do and a lot to accomplish, but you look at where we are now, and really we couldn't have done it without the support of all vested parties. So I have a couple real quick things to go over before I turn it over to the UDRC team. First, I would like to introduce Stephanie. Stephanie filled the vacancy left by Gail Tilson. I'd like to recognize her and thank her for all her work in getting this meeting set up, and most likely in the future you'll see her name coming through when she's facilitating these meetings. So thank you to her. And real quick, I just saw that Bethany popped up. I want to also recognize Bethany. I know she's kind of been in the background of most of these meetings, but I believe Bethany has accepted a new assignment within DWS. So she still will be with us, but my understanding is she won't be on these calls anymore. So another, also want to thank Bethany for her support as well. Lastly, just looking for a motion to approve the minutes. I know Gail sent those out after our last meeting. I don't think we sent them out recently, but they shouldn't have changed. So
motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Aaron. Okay. With that, I will turn the remainder of the time over to the UDRC team.
Okay, great. I just want to really quickly echo before we go into exactly what Colin said about Stephanie and Bethany. So thank you, both of you guys, for your contributions. Go ahead, Kelsey.
Agreed. Thanks, Stephanie and Bethany. Just to kind of get us started here, we are currently in the process of building out our 2021 research agenda. So emails have been sent out to the partners for you guys to send us any research topics that you would like to have put on the 2021 agenda, and we will move forward with compiling all of those ideas once we receive them. That will be communicated to you guys at the start of the fiscal year. Some sad news. Skylar Scott has accepted another position, so he will be leaving. So it's sad for us, but we're happy for him and want to thank him for all of the work that he's contributed to UDRC over the years, and kind of wish him good luck in his new position. On that note, we have two new team members that started since our last board meeting, so welcome to them. Laura Dahl is our new UX researcher, and Ari Fenn is our new researcher, and I believe many of you have already met these two, but just wanted to officially introduce them and say welcome. So with that, we have one position currently open for Skylar's position that closed yesterday at midnight, or this morning at midnight. We had 18 applicants, so we're excited to get a new person on the team, and we'll be doing interviews next week. And I'll let Jeremiah take it from here.
Yeah, and just wanted to provide a quick update on WDQI. So the WDQI Round 8 grant was released. The application is due on April 26th. For those of you who might not be aware, WDQI is the ETA version of the SLDS grant, which has funded a lot of the work that we've done in the past and we're currently undertaking, with the exception that obviously this is an ETA grant, so it focuses more on sort of labor markets and the transition between education and into the labor market. So like I mentioned, the application is due on April 26th. We are internally discussing the potential of applying for this grant, what might be the objectives, and once we figure all that information out, and if we do apply, we'll provide an update to this group at large. So we also do have the Early Childhood Commission coming up the presentation on the 29th of March. We're going to be co-presenting that with UDOH eKITS. We're going to be providing the commission guidance on the question that they posed at the last commission meeting, which was the question of duplicate effort between eKITS and UDRC. So we'll be providing that at that time. So we do have a new position in WRA. This position is the manager of user experience. I do want to reintroduce Brittany Johnston to this advisory board. Many of you know who Brittany is. She used to work for the UDRC, and so many of you are already familiar with her. So the manager of user experience will sort of help hone the user experience, which is going to be crafted by the UDRC and other subdivisions here in WRA. So you'll probably be seeing a lot of Brittany's work in the future, specifically, you know, data narratives, continuing to work on our brand, and so on. So as far as the 21 legislative session, we were not able to identify any bills that directly affected UDRC, but if you're aware of any, please let us know, or if you're aware of any that tangentially affect us, you know, we would welcome that feedback and that information. Kelsey?
And then lastly, our UX researcher Laura Dahl has been doing a lot of work redesigning our website, so she'll update on that in her update, but just wanted to thank her for all of that work and say that it's a work in progress, so just kind of bear with us as we work through updating all of that.
Yeah, specifically, many of you might be aware of this, but our website was not very mobile friendly, as, you know, especially the front page. So now it is very mobile friendly. You can look at it from your cell phone, and we've also updated a lot of the look and feel of it as well. So, okay, the next is going to be our technology update. First thing I'll discuss is going to be our current port to the cloud. So where are we currently? So ETL number one and number two have been delivered. These were the objectives which helped specifically the export application communicate with GCP. So we currently have an export application that all the partners are using. That current export application is not consistent with GCP. So we've built one that is consistent with GCP. So it's able to send the data that you're creating for us to our Google Cloud platform. And then we also worked on the ingest process into the GCP infrastructure, as well as logging all the steps and the information therein, like metadata, for example, and also email communication, so both internal and external. So one of the feedback that we received from our current system is that our external data partners, when they provide data to the UDRC, that they don't really receive any sort of communication other than the communication that we sent at the end of the process. This will now communicate you our data partners' information as it relates to the export and the ingest process of the UDRC process. So also Web 2 was delivered. This is the admin application core. With the ability to modify applications and uptime monitoring. So what's next for the Google Cloud Platform project? That is, we're going to be focusing on MPI 1 and 2. Here we're talking about matching and de-identification. And then Web number 5, which is going to be delivered by the end of this week. This is the ad hoc data import process in the admin application core, which allows us to import data sets in an ad hoc manner. So that's the update on the port to the cloud. The next thing I want to update as far as technology is concerned is our phase four. Phase four, the user acceptance testing phase two, which was the rebuild of the USB warehouse. We did encounter an issue with the record size due to the fact that we were trying to import the entire longitudinal data for USBE. Specifically, you know, the courses, which have 77 million records. We encountered this issue and realized that we just certainly didn't have enough RAM to support that operation. But we are moving forward with pushing the phase four system to production, where we have more resources there, and we're very confident that that we will not encounter this this problem. And if we do encounter this problem, we do have a way to resolve it. So so the next step is to push to production and then rebuild the entire UERC database using the phase four system. At that point in time, we'll have phase four data, and then the phase three data will be retired from our system. So moving forward, all research projects will utilize phase four data after this next step that I've just described. So what we would like to do is we would like to do a presentation on the phase four upgrades, and it will be scheduled as soon as we're completed with the steps that I've just mentioned. Aaron, go ahead.
Just quick question on the phase three retirements. Is that the up on the Google Cloud platform, or is that the on-premise databases?
Yeah, so phase three and phase four are both on-prem.
So question is, and I don't remember if it MOUs dictated this or not, but the destruction of data, does that need to be witnessed? This is just kind of a technical question, but I know we've got Whitney here, that sometimes we've had to go out and just the agencies, for example, when we transitioned out of UETN, there was actually a certification that the data has been destroyed.
Yeah, sure. Whatever we need to stay in compliance with MOUs or any USB related or any of our other data partners, rules and regulations as far as what you're referring to. This is, just to be clear, this is not raw data. It is de-identified, the production UDRC data that we're referring to. So if it applies to that as well, we'd be more than willing to do anything and everything we need to make sure that we're in compliance with those rules. I can definitely look at the MOUs and get back to everyone if that's what you'd like me to do.
I think it'd just be good to make sure we double check and make sure we're taking care of all that.
So I would need to look at the MOU, but I doubt that we would need a verification of destruction of de-identified data. And I think the instance Aaron's talking about, it was personally identifiable information, and it was kind of not typical. In fact, that's the only time we have physically gone somewhere to watch the destruction of data, and it was kind of just more for our knowledge just to learn how it's done and how it's verified. Other vendors, we just have them certify that they've destroyed their data just as an assurance.
Okay. So from what you said, Whitney, it sounds like maybe an email informing USB that your phase three data has been retired. Is that sufficient then?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. All right. Okay. And I'll now hand it off to Skylar Scott and Karen Tao for the research update.
Yeah, before I get started with my research update, I wanted to echo the sentiments of both Kelsey and Jeremias and thank all of our partners. Over the last few years, I've had a lot of opportunities to work on dashboards and great research reports that I think we're all proud of that wouldn't have been done if it wasn't for the kindness and support of all of our partners. With that said, I've had an opportunity to co-investigate two different projects with Karen and Ari. I'll provide an update on my project I'm co-investigating with Karen, which is our gender wage gap project, and then let Ari introduce what we're working on with the Utah Department of Health HII scores. So with the gender wage gap study, it's a study that examines the historical differences of wage between men and women in Utah and compares that to the national average. We then look at the gender wage gap as it affects new graduates from the Yushi system, both on the technical education side and on the degree granting side of Yushi, and look at wages 1 and 5 years after for new graduates. This project is currently in its final stage of revision as the directors of workforce services are taking a look at that for final review, and we began development on the dashboard of it. Our next step will be getting that final stamp of approval and then working with our UX researcher, Laura, to get that dashboard ready to go and get the project published. That said, is there any questions about this particular research project? Okay. I'll hand some time over to Ari to go over our project, which looks at the Department of Health's HII scores then. Ari?
So for this project, we're looking at the Health Improvement Index created by the Utah Department of Health, and we're comparing that with our different P20W metrics. And what we're doing is we're integrating this area deprivation, which is what the Health Improvement Index measures. And we're seeing that how that affects various aspects of early education all the way up to workforce outcomes. Currently, we have met with all the data partners, we've incorporated their feedback, and we are just starting the initial analysis right now. So we'll have some early results soon. Then we have a first write-up and the rest of our internal and then external revision once we have our initial write-up and analysis done. So this is in the earlier stages of the project. And then I believe next we have RA9, and this is the effect of higher education on public assistance use. And we're going to ask, is the completion of a degree program or a certificate program associated with less use of either food stamps, SNAP, or TANF benefits? And also, we'd like to identify which sorts of programs are associated with the lowest use post-graduation, and maybe what individual characteristics as well are associated with more or less use post-graduation. This is in even earlier stages, so we have the internal WRA meeting actually later this afternoon, then we will move on and meet with our different data partners for this project here in the coming weeks. After we get that initial feedback, we'll incorporate that, start with our data polls, and then data analysis and write-ups. So that is where we stand with this project.
And
sorry, Ari, my apology, Karen. Did you want to ask if there were any questions or are there any questions on the two projects for Ari? Okay, sorry. Go ahead, Karen, sorry.
No worries. So our next research project that we will talk about is the high school course taking patterns of high school students in Utah. And we're going to focus on cohort years 2014 to 17. And basically, we're going to look at the number of courses taken in each subject while a student is in high school. And we're going to use that to model their college readiness. And college readiness is defined in this project as having graduated high school and having passed at least one advanced course in high school. And once we have that model completed, we're also going to look at the enrollment as well as awards given to these students from Yushi and UTech or the technical colleges of Yushi after their graduation. Because our cohort years from 14 to 17,
4 years after their high school graduation. We may not have all of their graduation from Wuxi institutions yet, but we're going to still look at least the time between their high school graduation and Wuxi enrollment and use that for our model. So the current status is that we have completed the data poll from our data warehouse and it has also been peer reviewed. I am currently working on the initial analysis and the modeling. And our next step will be to complete our analysis write-up and the modeling and work on a first draft. Do we have any questions for this project? I'll turn the time over to Kelsey.
Thanks, Karen. The two projects to update on, the first one is the post-secondary student migration project, looking at where post-secondary students go to different Wuxi institutions after they graduate from high school and looking at different demographic patterns there. That project has been reviewed by the partners and we're working on building out the data narrative for that project currently. So once that's done, we'll send that narrative out to the partners again to review that. And if they have any, if you guys have any feedback on that data narrative, please let us know. We're hoping to get that project published soon. Then the second one that I have going on is the IGP longitudinal research for 2021. This research is just getting started. I have a meeting next month with the research subcommittee to go over the initial literature review methods and start on the analysis. So I'm working on the SQL query pull for this data now and going to be starting on analysis this month for that project. Are there any questions about those two projects? Okay, great. I will turn it over to, I believe it's Laura is next with her UX update.
Yeah, so I did usability testing with 7 key participants in January and February, and they gave me great feedback on most of the websites. And based on that feedback, I created new designs and got them approved. And then based on those designs, I've been currently working on new top navigation for the website to improve findability, which was our biggest usability problem that I found through the testing. And then because findability and marketing of who we are seemed baffling to all 7 participants. There's a new home page that I've worked on and it's been published. As Kelsey said, I'm also working on the RA4 dashboard. Now, plans are to update the footer of all the website pages with key site links, including Twitter and newsletter subscriptions, so it's easier for people who find us can just join our newsletter. I'm starting out on the RA7 dashboard. I will work on a new landing page for research products to improve findability and understanding of what we have and links to what our partners have created. That will be an update on that page. And then because the blog pages have been growing weekly and are difficult for participants to find specific content, I'm going to be working on better archiving and organization of those pages. Are there any questions or comments? All right, Vincent's turn.
Hi, I'm Vincent. Since December, we've completed 2 data requests. One was kind of a rapid-fire one from Wuxi, where they were doing some policy work on their end, and they asked us to look at USB and Wuxi data. We learned a lot from that, especially how much more efficient we can be when we do data requests and the investigators have a good understanding of their data and what they want out of a request. And as part of that, it kind of led to an initiative with Kelsey redesigning our research application. I'm not sure when that's going to go live, but we are going to be doing a lot more to help people, when they build a request, come up with a very good structure and what they need, so we can hopefully increase throughput going forward and minimize the amount of data that they're requesting so they don't request superfluous stuff. We also completed request 3037, looking at post-school outcomes and to try to mimic a survey that's happening at USBE. So we find that some of the institutions have been using more subjective methods and survey methods to reach populations, and now that they have access to the longitudinal research, they're able to get an idea of the quality of their surveys with actual data, see how things are kind of lay them on top of each other, which is really interesting. We haven't had a decline in requests over the last few months, and as far as ongoing requests goes, we do work with our requesters, our researchers, continuously throughout the life of their data product. If they find things that come up or they want kind of a revision or they want to check on methods, I definitely work with them to go deep into it, figure out so we can tell them how this report was created and what means what. So one of the requests, 3021, came back and he had some questions. So we're doing a dive, bringing back in some external data from a national college survey and taking a look at how some of the reports were built so we can get better answers there. And then we're currently working on a request for for DWS. Actually, that's an internal request, looking at refugee students and some of their outcomes. Really big request. That's probably our largest one to date, with over 50 or so fields, looking at everything from USBE, K-12 schooling, to some employment numbers and how they proceeded through post-secondary school. Any questions on this or how you can request data or data requests in general? No?
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Nick, and everyone else who provided great updates on what's going on with over at the UDRC. Now it's sort of the final step here in our presentation, which is public comments. So if you have any questions, comments, or concerns from the public, or really just anyone here, and even the advisory board, obviously, that would be the time. So,
well, I just didn't want all of your presenters to mistake silence for not being super excited about the research you're doing. And so, so super exciting, awesome. Like, I love it. So good job.
So thank you so much, Whitney. We really appreciate your kind comments. So
agreed. Thanks.
And I agree with that. I know our folks here that created the HII, when we fed back what you're doing with that, they were so excited. That's, I mean, what they wanted to see happen with that index. And there's such a focus on addressing areas of disparity right now and a lot of funding going into that and social determinants. I think that's going to be very, very useful.
Right. I know that I think the biggest I think flattery for a researcher is for someone else to use their research. So I could get that feeling. Okay. Any other further questions, comments, or concerns from the group or the public?
One thing, just to make sure, I think is on everyone's radar. You had mentioned no legislation that directly affects UDRC, but there was a lot of legislative concern regarding data privacy this last session. And I know I did several presentations to research or to the legislature and to committees and kind of movement towards saying, okay, government entities can't collect identifiable information, or they have to provide opt-out provisions, or you have to ask for opt-in provisions. And as you know, those of us who do research know that that could create issues with having useful outcomes because it can bias the sample. when I did the presentations to the legislatures and talked about how we use the data, you know, how we protect it, that it's minimal use, that we only have that for basically for linkage purposes so that we can look across sets or look longitudinally, it alleviated their concerns. And, you know, some of them even said there, you know, there needs to be more understanding of all of those aspects. And so I think that it's just important for everyone here to be aware of those. There is a new privacy commission that was created with House Bill 243, and there's two privacy officers, one that will be appointed by the governor and one that will be appointed by the state auditor, as well as a whole commission. And one of the things that I emphasized in the presentations is that we only share as allowed under the statute, the governing authorities. So I kind of let them know, you guys are the ones who have directed us and told us in statute how we can share data, who we can share to, and what we can share. And I think that helped address some concerns too. So I think just as much as we can educate people about this and how protective we are and how about that will help preserve our ability to do this research going forward. We don't want to lose the capacity to do this kind of research because people don't understand how seriously we take privacy and why we need the data that we need to inform policy and outcomes. So any chance that you get to help educate people on that so that we can preserve our capacity to do this kind of work, you know, I would just encourage everybody to do that.
I wanted to speak to that a little bit. I was tracking that bill as well. I'm pretty familiar with it. USB is an exception to one part. Anyway, I don't need to go into that. But UDRC is some people's worst nightmare. And so it's Big Brother. You know, I'm just, you know, this is, I'm sure you're aware of this. So I think getting ahead of the messaging is important. I know that that's worked in other states, but how are you going to message this and have those talking points that you're talking about? And how are you going to communicate it? I know some of our more concerned board members have been really concerned with at least, if it's not consent to opt in, at least notification of the disclosure, the redisclosure of data, whether that be, you know, when you fill out a free reduced lunch application or apply for benefits, to at least have a notification that the data will be shared for these purposes. So anyway, I totally see where the state's going to. I talked to Senator Andrig about it a bit ago, and it's just their first kind of iteration. It's supposed to be more so support rather than policing, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think very fair comments both from Mavina and from Whitney. This is definitely something that's on our radar and something that we are concerned about. I think you hit it right on the nail that so some sort of opt-in would be pretty catastrophic for our ability to produce sensible research in the future. Obviously, not just for us, but for everyone here in this group who does research within your own organizations. So, and you're right, the messaging is really critical and important. So, any other further questions, comments, or concerns? All right. Well, I'll give you some time back from your busy schedules. Thank you so much for attending our advisory board meeting today. And as always, you're more than welcome to reach out to us at any point in time if you do have any questions, comments, or concerns. Thank you so much.